Office hours are now open. Welcome to the show where we answer everyday questions about life and work in Luxembourg by talking to business owners, employees, entrepreneurs and experts. Send me your feedback to adam.petersen@rtl.lu or on LinkedIn. But for now, on to the show. I was recently asked by a friend, I'm thinking of moving to Luxembourg. Is it an easy place to meet people? To which my answer was a resounding yes. The networking scene is big in our small country, if you know where to find it. How do you find the right networking event for you? Is it only for people who are job hunting? And are there people you should look to avoid when approaching the tray of mini vol-au-vent? To help me answer these questions and more, I'm joined by Andrew Notter, British Chamber of Commerce for Luxembourg, Patricia Martin, Vice President of the Network Luxembourg, and Candida Nedog, Corporate Relationship Manager at Aztec Group. So you're all from different organisations. Let's take a tour through them. Patricia, you're literally called the network. That should be the easiest. Tell me a bit about what the network is and what it does.
So the network is an association, a non-profit association that is promoting, encouraging women in the corporate world, and not only developing women, and making sure that we are connecting together. It's English speaking, and we are trying to produce events 11 times a year, and we are trying to give those events a dimension that can people take out, like workshops, effective speaking, assertive communication, leadership. Yesterday we had an event.
Tell me about that.
It was at Foyer, so the insurance company, and we dig into tax declaration for women, because I think it's important that women hold finance very closely to their heart, because it creates independence for them. And it's important that we cross this subject very nicely and very warmly. So it was great.
And you've been to network events?
The
network?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have engaged with them. We have sponsored their events in the past.
So you've been a sponsor of the network. Yeah. Andrew?
Yeah, I've spoken at some network events as well, and also we've partnered together with the British Chamber of Commerce and the network as well.
So it's mission-driven for women.
Yes.
So how come you're letting Andrew in?
Because we are not excluding men, but it's clear that we are targeting women in particular. But yesterday it was nearly half and half men and women.
There's no limit on members being women only?
So the members currently, yes, only okay. Women, but men can attend to our events. They are more than welcome.
Okay, and then do you pay to go to the events? Are they free for members?
So if you're a member, you pay the membership, and you have access to all the events. But if you are a one-off, then you have to pay €20 per event.
Okay.
But we are currently reviewing our subscription fees, yeah. Yes.
You held last night's at Foyer, so you partner with different companies?
Well, we try to. and Foyer is one of them. The next event in October is going to be with a company called iConnect. So we try to partner regularly, and we have other partners coming up soon, and I will disclose the name later when we have something signed.
So they sponsor it, they give you the place for free, give them the opportunity for some exposure for them.
Exactly.
Okay.
We really try to get a equal partnership.
So you've heard it here first. If you want some exposure to the members of the network, get in contact.
Exactly.
So let's move then to the British Chamber of Commerce. British Chamber of Commerce. Now, I'm a Brit, and that sounds like a load of posh white men smoking cigars talking about interest rates. So, is it?
Well, that's a perception, Adam, but it's fantastically not that situation. It's very international. It's one of the largest English-speaking chambers in Luxembourg, and it is predominantly made up of lots of British companies and individuals, but it's geared towards also the Luxembourg market, which is very international. So the common language is English, but the people and members are very international.
Do you have any idea for the mix of people?
I haven't got the percentage breakdown. Candida is a member through Aztec, and we have lots of the international companies, from the Big Four to all the law firms, startup companies, tax firms, you name it. They're part of the chamber, and that's been because we've been around for one of the longest times in Luxembourg.
What's the mission, though, of the chamber? What's its purpose?
So the British Chamber is part of the international group of chambers worldwide. So we're kind of linked with the British Chamber in the UK. We have the British ambassador in Luxembourg as the honorary president for the chamber, so that gives us a mission from also the UK to make sure we're supporting British companies in Luxembourg, promoting British interest here, but also linking closely with the UK to make sure we're attracting UK trade investments and promoting Luxembourg when we go to the UK as well. So I link up with the Luxembourg Embassy in London as well when we host events there, which I'm doing next month.
So you've been recently to any BCC events?
We engage a lot with the British Embassy. We really work together very closely, and it's a delight, I have to say. He has the best team.
Thank you.
He has the best team, for sure. And through that partnership, we actually secured last year and this year the British Ambassador residence for our events. That's always an angle that is common to the heart of the current ambassador, right?
So we first met at a British Chamber of Commerce event. That's the first time we met.
And then
last week we were at it was sunny in Luxembourg, believe it or not. Aztec arranged event at the British Embassy, which was around neurodiversity in the workplace.
Exactly. So we chose that topic together with the ambassador, actually. Yeah.
And so your British Chamber topics, what topics did you cover?
So we cover a whole range of different topics from tax, legal, people and leadership, financial services. We've tackled Brexit at the time through that with the ambassador talking about what does it mean. We talk about the potential EU reset, how that affects people in Luxembourg. So there's a whole range of different topics. We have around 70 volunteers, which form all of the working groups, which help to create events all throughout the year. So we have close to 30 events that we organise every year.
Those working groups are around tax, people and leadership, etc. And those people and leadership ones, I would imagine that's quite open, covers lots of things that people would be interested in.
One of our next events is coming up, is about leadership in space, actually. So it's quite a diverse topic, but it's something which is at heart of Luxembourg. What's the sector doing? How do people evolve? What is leadership? And we talk about that every year. We do a kind of a leadership forum every year on a variety of different sectors. What's the future leaders? We've got even a new group called Emerging Leaders, which is about aspiring leaders. What do they need to do? How do they evolve? What do they look at from the older generation to the younger generation? So there's a whole range of different topics that we cover.
What would be young generation in?
Not us.
I'm putting myself a little bit towards the older category now. But people that are, well, we did it at the Luxembourg Business School, actually, and talking about the graduates there, how they assess their career. How do they communicate? What do they look for when they develop their careers, and getting feedback from people maybe towards the end of their career? What do they look for when they're recruiting, when they're hiring, versus what do the younger generation look for when they're starting in the workplace as well? So quite an interesting topic to see different viewpoints from both generations.
Yeah, and that sounds quite broad in terms of tax is quite specific, but then what are you looking for in your career be applicable to everyone?
Absolutely.
Candidate, tell me about your roles, because I meet you at events. I met you at a Paper Jam event, a BCC event, and then I met you at an Aztec event, which did you organize it? Tell me about that.
Yes. So what I do at ASEC as a corporate relationship manager, it's not just about maintaining the relationships that we have in the industry, right? It's about creating ecosystems. So for us, it's very important to create that trust and the partnership with the people that we engage with, the associations, with the industry bodies, with the government, with the embassies, etc. That created like a collaborative mindset, because when we find opportunities to engage together, like the event last week that you participated, is very easy to action, because we already have that support system, so to speak. And it's always a win-win situation, right? We chose that particular topic because we sat down with the embassy representatives and I said, okay, what's important right now? And then we kind of tailored that to bring that context into the corporate world, because we are a corporation after all, right? So it's, for us, it's super interesting. You know, what I do, I make sure that the relationships that we have built are maintained. There's always a win-win situation that we are contributing to them as much as we need their contribution. So that makes the whole difference, I think.
But the networking scene is a lot more than those ones we've just covered. What are some of the other things that you go to and enjoy?
Well, there's a lot. It really depends. It depends, right? So we are here representing our industries, our companies, our associations. If you're networking for them, you're going to naturally attend events that have to do with your industry, correct? If you're networking because you want to make friends, you might look for different groups. And in Luxembourg, things are not in billboards. You need to look for events to attend according to your interest, but there's stuff happening all the time. So when people come to us and say, oh my God, Luxembourg is so boring, I'm like, no, you are boring. Luxembourg is full of things to do.
They're looking in the wrong place.
Absolutely.
So where should they look? What are some of the other people?
I agree. Yeah. I agree completely. You just have to open your eyes, listen to your colleagues, and you can go to 3 or 4 events every day, nearly. It's unbelievable. I try to select one for a specific day on the 16th of October, our next event. I think there are 5 already events that I could go to.
So you're struggling to find slots in the calendar where you're not competing with other
Absolutely.
Organizations. So which are the other organizations?
So there's Candida was saying as well, I think there's so many organizations and associations which create their own events geared around particular topics and sectors. And that's fine. And that gives you a clear focus where you, if you're interested in financial services, in funds, private equity, in that particular space, you have a very clear structure of events to go to. But you see on top of that, companies, big four, you name it, law firms, are all creating their own events as well, which you can also gain interesting knowledge and experience from these networking opportunities as well. So it's about understanding what are you trying to do from a networking perspective? What is your interests? I mentioned legal, tax, and all of these great fun things, but there's a lot of other activities out there which
HR.
Can be involved in networking associations.
And then
you
get into the paper jam. Can I say paper jam?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, done it. Yes. You go into the paper jam website. You find everything from yoga at lunchtime all the way to the finance awards. So there is a whole range of activities. I think the issue is, as Patricia said, is in choosing. But if you don't actually really pay attention to where you want to focus on and where you actually can collaborate the most, you can burn yourself out very quickly trying to go everywhere because there is stuff happening all the time.
We covered if you want to go to the network event, you become a member or you pay for one-off. British Chamber of Commerce, individual memberships and company memberships, is that right?
Yeah, there's 3, individual, business and sustaining, but there's also startup memberships as well. We help startups to be part of that.
To get invited to an Aztec event, how do you get on the guest list for that?
We organize events that are very client-centric, and so our main public events are mostly for clients, prospects, business partners, and the likes. But there are other events in the industry that are open to all. If you go to LPE website, it's ALFI. There is L3A, which is a new association for service providers. And I found out very recently, if you're into tech, like fintech and like super, super digital oriented, there is a public calendar on My Connectivity where they are mapping like a lot of things happening in Luxembourg. So.
And then Paper Jam you mentioned. So Paper Jam, do you pay to be
in
Paper Jam?
So Paper Jam is paid. So they have, as with the British Chamber, they have different categories of membership. But that's very interesting, I would say, from a professional perspective, not from a
individual.
I just moved here and I don't work, but I want to network. I would not actually.
And the Paper Jam one is, I think it's English and French, right?
English and French.
English and French.
Yeah. You can go if you only speak English, but if you speak a bit French,
yes.
It'll probably be a bit.
When they organize an event, they actually put the main language that's going to be spoken at the event, usually.
Okay.
So, but there is a translation.
There's also translation
of each
yes.
event.
Absolutely.
Spontaneous translation.
Yeah.
So these are all paid events, I suppose, ones that you need to be part of for your association, your industry, your expert. But there's many other, on top of that, from your education, your universities, there's a whole range of alumni which you can kind of gain access to as well.
A couple of ones we've mentioned, so Paper Jam, Alumni Association, so I go to the Oxford and Cambridge Alumni Associations, where I used to go to university. Stripes, I went to one recently, Jerome Block organises some stuff, which is free to attend, but you pay for your own food and booze, which works out quite well. Any others that we haven't name-checked, do you think would be worth letting people know?
Toastmasters.
I mean, you can talk about The Loft and how they do their FinTech Fridays.
Yeah.
There's other kind of sociable activities in that space as well.
They have a startup apero or something, don't they?
A startup apero, and there's a number of those.
Silicon organized.
Silicon Valley things as well.
So there's plenty around. Quick question then before the break. Do you ever cook yourself dinner or do you just eat at all these events all the time?
No, don't eat. Don't eat at the events, please.
Really?
And if you do eat with Eddie, this is something that I put, we have a next gen group that we train and prep to go out at Aztec, and we have regular meetings, lunch and learns, and that was the first session we ever had was on business etiquette, and that is, do not eat with your right hand at events. Have you ever approached somebody who's literally just picked up a piece of shrimp cocktail, whatever, and they quickly wipe off their hands and they want to give their hand to you, you know how disgusting that is. So I always say, always eat. If you want to eat, eat with your left hand. That's it.
Agree. That's always something I've done for many years. Yeah. You shake a lot of hands.
I usually do that. Oh, you shake a lot of hands. And no one to shake a shrimp hand. Trust me.
I kind of have a snack before I go because they're never that filling anyway, right?
There you go.
Great. So we know about some of the events and how they work in your organisation as well. So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll get into some of the Chewy questions. The true value of networking doesn't come from how many people we can meet, but rather how many people we can introduce to others. That was a quote from author and speaker Simon Sinek. In part one, we learnt about some of the mechanics of networking, and in part two, I want to get into some of the skills. So leading on from Candida's point about don't eat with your right hand, because it's all going to be greasy, what are some of the good practices you see people doing in networking events?
First of all, welcome the new members. I think this is important to the part of the onboarding. And so you show yourself, you make yourself present as part of the board members. You have to welcome new faces and go to them.
Yeah, that's pretty important because it can be very daunting for people who don't know anyone walking into a room and a bunch of us have met at events before and everyone seems to know each other. So as the organization, you have to welcome the new members. But have you got advice for those people turning up for their first event?
I would just say just come as you are. Because I think this is the best way. But I would say just a smile and just be open to whoever you talk to you.
And remember that there are other people there who also don't know anybody. So sometimes people feel super awkward when they go and go to a networking event alone. And they're like, oh my God, everybody knows, seems to know everybody else. But that's not true. A lot of people are showing themselves as busy. Usually they're on the phone and looking like they are super important, and they're not. That's almost a fear, right? It's an awkwardness that people are trying to hide behind their phones. So when you go to networking, there is nothing wrong in arriving at a networking event and being by yourself at a high table with your glass of whatever you want to drink. You don't look weak, you don't look... In fact, I find that particularly, I find very sophisticated.
Maybe a quick tip on that, because if you do enter a room and everyone does know each other, maybe get there first. If you're one of the first people to arrive at the event, people will naturally come to you.
And hover by the bar.
You're going to then start to meet more people. You're going to be there, want to talk to you, first of all.
Absolutely.
So being there early was going to be much more helpful than coming to an event late.
That's absolutely simple true.
That's a very good tip, actually.
Very.
I've been surprised when I've been to an event and I'm thinking, oh, I don't know anyone at the moment. So I've just walked up to two people that I've assumed that we're in deep in conversation. Oh, do you mind if I interrupt? And then, oh, how long have you known each other? Thinking they're getting on like a house on fire. They've known each other for years. And I'm like, oh, we met 5 minutes ago.
Exactly. So,
is it okay just to walk up to groups and just introduce yourself?
Yeah, I think it's there's ways of approaching people, and you can see, I think from a networking perspective, you can see how you can look at a closed group. And now if there's a whole group of people talking together quite intently, yes, I mean, be friendly and be proactive, be curious, but you've got to do it in the right way. If people are standing quite openly, I think it shows already that they're quite happy to be approached, and they may have met 2 minutes ago and are building a conversation. So I think you've got to look at how you can best introduce yourself, and that is the best way to kind of be proactive, be curious, and ask questions. And first of all, do you mind if I introduce myself? Will probably be a good way to do that. Absolutely. And find out.
It might be very intimidating to approach a big group already, because they might have a synergy in there already from some time. But if you approach like a smaller group, like you did, two or three people talking, or maybe another person who's also alone, and do you mind if I sit with you? Do you mind if I stay here with you? This does not make us look vulnerable or weak or inappropriate. It's just we are humans and, you know, it's a new environment. There's nothing wrong with
that. It is called a networking event, so people should be there normally to meet other people as well. So they should be normally quite open to
it. I would like to add that it is very important that you try once, then a second time, and a third time. You'll see it's going to be so much easier because even if you don't know, you get used to this exercise, then it becomes automatic to be in presence of unknown people, and it's really easy.
And what tips do you have for helping people to remember who they've met? So I go to some events and one of the embarrassing things I find, if you introduce yourself to someone twice, it's like, hey, I'm Adam, and then they go, yeah, I met you last week. And so do you have any tips for those situations?
Wow. I always think of Bill Clinton when this topic approaches, because that guy, he was quoted by Psychology Today as the master in charisma, right? And he had a legendary memory for names. He could have met somebody once, and years later, he would remember the person. It's all about, in his case, like mega authentic, huge empathic levels and a huge presence, right? But I think it's all about how present you are with that person at any given moment. And I am very guilty of this because I also don't remember names. But now I try to be humble enough to say, I know that I met you, but I don't remember a name. And I literally say that upright because I have huge problems with that. I will remember faces, but names, I'm not very good at that. So there's nothing wrong with saying, listen, I'm sorry, we met last week, but you know,
so I
forgot your name. It happens.
Everyone's
and it
human.
Happens on that
yeah,
side
everyone
as well.
Be, I think be honest and say, look, maybe you are bad with names, or I've been to so many events and I'm sure we've been bumped into each other recently. But it is very difficult for people to remember every single person's name and individual that they've met over there. If they've been to five events over the last 3 nights, as an example,
yes, exactly.
Then it's quite a lot of people that you do meet. But
and conversely, exactly. You can make people feel a bit more, because other people have this problem as well. And sometimes they come and talk to you, or you go talk to them, assuming that they know you. But they have that blank look on their face. So say them and say, hey, my name is Kanda, we met some time ago. Do you remember? You know, that
the sense
nice.
Of relief in their face. Oh, exactly. Now I know.
Exactly. So you've got to be nice.
So we can't all be Bill Clinton, so be generous to other people when they get it wrong, and they're going to be generous with you
exactly.
as well.
Exactly, yes, yeah. Yes.
Are there any people you look to avoid and you think, oh, they're not a good network?
Everyone's got their own style, which is good. Mm. Some people like to talk more about themselves, other people ask more questions. Everyone's got their own way of networking, but I would say if you're trying to introduce yourself for the first time, ask more questions about them and try not to pitch yourself to people, because they will soon lose interest in you talking about yourself. So maybe that's the first tip.
I started with the Simon Sinek quote. I nearly went for a Dale Carnegie one that's along the lines of, you sell more by learning about someone in 2 weeks than you'll do for telling someone about you for 2 years.
Yeah.
Be interested in the other person.
Some people approach networking as if they were auditioning for a TED Talk. So they're there for 20 minutes talking about themselves. So that's not networking, that's broadcasting, right? So it's all about, is the mindset, as Andrew said, is the mindset of when you get into a place, if you approach people already with how can I contribute, not what can I take from this whole thing, who can I introduce, you're talking to somebody, and then you're going through the Rolodex in your mind, going, okay, who could I introduce to this person that could benefit them? The best way for people to remember you is when you put people together. And I think for me personally, this is the most rewarding aspect of any networking.
I agree. For me, this is a game changer. When you find that there is a connection between two people and you manage to make them meet, and then you see sparkle and you say, ah, that was the right move. And then you realize that this is going to last for a long time.
Yeah. Will you explain for our younger listeners though what a Rolodex is?
Oh my goodness, it's like those phones that you had to dial in.
It's a Gen X way of keeping addresses, right? So that's what it is.
Can we just add a photo afterwards?
But coming back to that point, I mean, LinkedIn, I suppose, or when you're following up, it does help to remember people. If you write a personal message that we connected, we exchanged business cards, or if you can't remember, you search on LinkedIn and say, look, we find each other. There's so many ways to connect that way, and you can even do a quick LinkedIn connection when you're meeting with people and just say, it'd be great to connect another time, and you can then maybe go back to your contacts afterwards, remember who you've spoken to and follow up, and that helps you to maybe get a bit more organized instead of thinking we met before. It gives you a bit more structure.
I must say that's something I do, is after an event and I connect with someone on LinkedIn, write to them, because then it's not only polite and it's nice and it's a good way to get to know them a bit better, but also it's then a reminder for when I'm going through and like, who is this person? And then you go back, yeah. It's like, ah, that's where I met them. So it's almost like a reminder system for myself.
Yeah. And also the follow-up, it's what you said, it's crucial. Yeah. Follow-up, yeah. You're not going to follow up with everybody, because the other day somebody asked me about the ROI on networking. I was like, oh my goodness, how do we answer that, right? No, for me, the ROI for the companies that we represent when we're networking will be on the strengthening of the company's reputation in the market, how easy it is to engage with other parties because we represent the company, opportunity arise. That's the ROI, but there's no way that we can go to a networking event and say, oh, the result of this event will be like X, Y, Z. You cannot do that. However, it's super important that we follow up with those contacts that made a difference to us. We cannot follow up with everybody, because not everybody you're gonna talk to are gonna be interesting for your industry, for you personally, even from perspectives that we have, right? But those that made a difference, those that you want to know more about, as Andrew said, you do have to follow up.
I'm very glad that you followed up with me after we first met. Which events are you looking forward to between the start of November and the end of December?
Well, the Christmas event.
Christmas event. So tell me about that.
I'm organizing the Christmas event at my company where I work. And we are trying to find a sponsor for our network event, because we have normally beginning of December. But at the moment, it's a kind of difficult situation financially, I mean. And so we are looking for sponsors for our Christmas event.
And how many people will you expect to, do you have in the network, and will you expect to have?
So we have 150 members, a little bit more. And we are usually having about 50 members that are joining this event. And the event is sponsored by the network, and a little bit also from the members.
A little bit of a contribution.
Yes.
So,
yeah, we've got a busy, busy agenda with the British Chamber over the next few months, actually. So there's, I'm not going to single out one event, but I think we've got going over to London for a funds event. We're hosting one in the embassy there. We're doing another one with the British ambassador in the residence next in November. We've got quite a few different events with lots of attendees coming. But, of course, looking to the end of the year, Christmas is probably our flagship event, where we do our lunch with the ambassador speaking.
That's the one I'm looking forward to. Is it British Chamber Christmas lunch?
Can we be invited?
You cannot miss it. We cannot miss it.
A big part of it.
It's on record. I just heard him say that.
No, but it's an amazing event. We go every year. So that's that. We have the LPEA Insights Conference now happening in October, which is a massive, for the financial industry, is a massive one. So we are sponsoring that one. And one of our colleagues from our US office is coming to speak at that conference. So it's going to be super good. And we have TEDx. So we have the TEDx Luxembourg City Women event happening on 6th of December at the New Munster Abbey. Now, this is the second TEDx Luxembourg City Women that we organize. The other one was in 2019. So it should be very, very interesting. The lineup of speakers that we have, it's looking pretty exciting.
I hear that TEDx events are good. I'm going to my first one today. On the day of recording, there's one at Luxembourg School of Business. So I'm looking forward to
it. This is a great networking event.
And the TEDx Luxembourg women one, boys can go, any gender.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. We're going to put the tickets on the website pretty soon. So watch
great.
The
space.
I think they look at even the kids. My kids get involved with St. George's as well.
Absolutely.
I think there's a connection
so
there.
So I believe the University of Luxembourg, St. George, Business School, they all have their individual licenses, right? They are granted licenses for events of 100 people maximum for university from an educational perspective. And then we hold the license for the capital. So that's why we can organize events of up to 1,000 people.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Just coming on to one more thing, we've got the Prime Minister for the British Chamber next month as well. So he's speaking with the French, the Italians and the British together.
Oh,
so we're going to have
nice.
A nice networking opportunity.
Luke Frieden, the Prime Minister.
Yep.
Impressive, that'll be a good one.
I believe so.
Yeah. Well, that's been a fun journey through the world of networking. And if people want to connect with you or your organizations, where should they go?
The website, thenetwork.lu. And you can just connect with me, or the president, or any board member.
On the British Chamber website, I'm pretty active on LinkedIn. So if there's anyone interested, drop me a note. Happy to welcome.
Same for Aztec and TEDx. They both have their websites. And for me, LinkedIn, I'm super active as well.
Okay, brilliant. So thank you very much. And thank you to the listeners.